Welcome to Grittles. This week, the art of self-development, part two. The questions this cast answers are, how can I get more training? How do I know what to ask for training on? And how do I practice what I'm learning?
April 9th and 10th, we're headed back to California for our EMC and ECC events. We'll be hosting an effective management and effective communications event in San Diego, April 9th and 10th. These 2 days offer an opportunity to learn the next steps to being a more effective professional, better management, better communication, and you might get to meet some other professionals in the area. San Diego, April 9th and 10th. Sign up at manager-tools.com/training.
So next we're going to talk about volunteering strategically.
We're going to talk in a second about how to volunteer for when you see an opportunity like this. But before we do that, we want to remind you, I guess, since we've said this before, that volunteering for more than your job is a fundamental part of being successful in your career. If you talk yourself out volunteering all the time, if you say to yourself, oh, I don't have time, or I don't want to be the guy who's known as doing too much, or I don't want to rock the boat, you're going to struggle to get ahead. In part because you don't meet more people, you don't get out of your team, you don't get out into the broader organization, so you don't know anyone, so you don't have any relationships. And if you don't want to volunteer, that's fine, right? If you just want to come in, do your job, go home, that's absolutely fine. But then if other people are being promoted or they're getting things that you're not getting in terms of work that you wanted to do, or they're getting praises that you wanted, or they're getting titles changed, you know, and those are the things that you wanted, and they've been volunteering for things. They've been doing that and you haven't, then that's why they're getting those things that you're not. And you're making a choice, and it's okay to make the choice, but you can't then complain about the result of the choice. And sometimes people will volunteer and they're going somewhere. It sounds like they're going off somewhere. I'm going off secretly, but you know, maybe you don't see them going to, you assume they're going to a meeting that's any other meeting, and actually they're going to this meeting that's in some way extra to their job. And so you don't think that they're doing something extra because, you know, you don't see where they go. And especially like when we're all working remotely, makes no difference to you what's, most people don't look at other people's calendars. And if they do, not enough to see whether somebody's more than whether someone's free or busy. And you just assume, oh, those people are just in meetings. And some of those meetings, they might be volunteering and then they're getting the rewards for that. And maybe you're not. And just know that you're making a choice and they're getting the results of their choice and you're getting the results of your choice.
Yeah. It's not always so clear when you're not sitting in a meeting, people raise their hand to say like, oh yeah, no, I'll volunteer.
Yeah.
That's very few and far between now.
And yeah. People do it afterwards and quietly. You know, they'll call the person who was running the meeting afterwards and say, hey, I didn't want to say it out loud because I didn't know if somebody else wanted to do it or you had someone you wanted to do it. But if you need someone, I'm happy to do it. Sometimes that's how people volunteer. And the rest of the meeting doesn't get to hear that conversation.
Yeah. And that's, again, how you miss out on those experiences or increasing that skill set because you're not there and they are. Now, when we're talking about volunteering strategically, don't be shy in announcing your inexperience in the area in which you're volunteering for an assignment. If you want your colleagues' help or advice and feedback, that's what will help you learn and improve. So there's no point in hiding the fact that you're trying to learn, right? You could try to spin it as a quote unquote promotion or extension of duties, but these people work with you every day and they're not going to be fooled. So really, it's great. Volunteer and then say like, oh, this isn't necessarily my area expertise, but that's how we all learn and grow, right? Putting ourselves in situations that we're not already experts in. Because if we were experts in, we wouldn't need a volunteer. You'd probably just be doing it, right? So be open and honest, and more people are willing to help you because most people want to support you, right? Nobody wants to see other people fail.
It's true. So some things you could say: I want to improve my data analysis skills. If I take this on, Jack, would you be able to check my results to make sure I do it correctly? And I'll do a first draft. It's not something I'm very practiced at, but if we just need words on a page, I'm happy to put words on a page. And could I have a go at this? I've been looking to improve my project management skills, and I think this is small enough for me to deal with.
And because you're going to be public about what you're learning, you'll want to have your boss's support before you volunteer. So if this isn't your area of expertise or you're lacking the skills, get your boss's support early on. And what this could mean is that this skill is one that you have on your performance review and you need to improve on it. So you've probably already had that conversation with your boss around how you're going to learn that skill or how you can go about improving it. And your boss has already agreed to it. And that's why you're interested in it. But you also want to make sure that if you haven't already had that conversation, that you do.
Because there's nothing more frustrating for a boss than you volunteering to do something that you want to do when you haven't got all of your work done first. They're like, come on, you know, where's the stuff I actually pay you to do? And you don't get to play before you've done your work. And exactly. Yes, I understand it's on your performance review and I understand you want to learn that thing, but you still have to do your work first before you have to eat all your dinner before you get dessert. That's the way it goes. And, you know, if you volunteer in a team meeting to do something that's not within your remit or which is a stretch for you, which is what we're talking about here, and you are shut down in public by your boss, or you have to come back to the group later and say, my boss says I can't do it, that's embarrassing. But it's likely to happen if you don't have your boss's support first. So you need to have that conversation with your boss of, you know, I'm getting all my stuff done and I'd like to look for opportunities to improve myself in this skill. When I see one, are you okay if I volunteer for it? And then that will work. Or you say, I might be able to do this. I'm going to check in with Bill that he hasn't got anything planned for me. I'll come back to you. So then you don't commit in the moment. You check in with your boss first. That's one way to get around this if you haven't had a specific conversation or you've had a conversation, but it's not about this specific opportunity.
Yeah. And volunteering on cross-team projects is an easy way to develop or increase soft skills like collaboration and communication with the new people who you don't know or you have a history with that your team does know. It may also give you opportunities for skill development that are not available within your immediate team. So by working on a different team, you are now not stuck with only the skills that your team knows, right? You have an opportunity, you get to know other folks that maybe that's maybe not the immediate opportunity, but once you talk to them, you're like, oh, I can learn more from these folks. And you get that opportunity when you start to volunteer for like cross-team opportunities.
Yeah, and if you've been working for a team for a while, everybody gets this kind of set view of what everybody else can do and how they are. And, you know, everybody assumes Jim's grumpy in the morning and they therefore don't give him early shifts. I don't know. And being with a new team gives you a even in the same job in the same company, it gives you a sort of fresh start to start over with some communication and some collaboration skills. So you get a chance to a fresh start and try again. If you're not always grumpy in the morning, but someone saw you grumpy in the morning once and now you've been tarred with it and nobody's ever forgiven you, working with a new team might give you a nice fresh start and you can...
Or you can really try out new skills, mm-hmm. right? Like something that you haven't been able to do with your team because you've worked with them for so long. Again, everyone kind of gets, I don't want to call it a rut,
yes.
but like a familiarity or you're comfortable with those people, so you don't want to rock the boat.
Mm-hmm.
But with a new team, you can, you know, maybe try communicating more or using a more excited voice that you don't do because everyone thinks you're grumpy in the morning. Right?
Exactly.
You can try out things that you might have not wanted to in your previous team, because why rock the boat if everything was going okay,
And another thing, cross-team projects, even extracurricular ones like company fundraising events, they can give you a bridge if you want to move from one team to another. It really doesn't matter how you make contact with a team that you want to move to. All that really matters is that you keep up that relationship, you give generously, and you ask for help when you need it. Like, it doesn't matter how you meet someone who is later going to help you get onto that team. You could meet them in the line, in the cafe. You could meet them in the parking lot when they're changing their tire. It doesn't matter, as long as you keep up that relationship. You give to them in terms of work, or, you know, doing favors for them when they need it, and then ask for help when there's an opportunity for you to get onto that team.
Yeah. Don't be afraid to ask your colleagues for help and advice. Don't, though, use them as your only source. If you're going to do something that you haven't done before and you expect it to be difficult, you want to try and figure it out first. Asking a colleague who is an expert is akin to going to the answer key in your textbook. That shouldn't be your first go-to move. You can try to figure it out on your own. Don't forget, you can ask Google, YouTube, LinkedIn, and all those other resources that you already have available. So first, do the research yourself. Don't be afraid to ask your colleagues for help, but they're not your only source. If you can, in fact, Google something and it's the first search option and your colleague knows that, and you go to them first, you're like, did you even try? Right? Yes. I'm happy to help you, but oh, you could have just Googled that. That's an easy find.
Yeah.
Or I had to Google it. I'm pretty sure you could have Googled it, right? Have you ever been asked that question by someone? You're like, I just Googled it. Yes. And then copy and paste, right? So do
about
a little
three
of the,
it feels like
the work first. Yeah. 3 times minimum, right? Probably just when I ask questions, right, Wendy?
No.
Like, Amanda, could have Googled that.
And it is supposed to be learning something is supposed to be difficult. You are going to get stuck. That's the point of this. So don't be upset when you get stuck.
Yeah, it's part of the process. I would say you actually learn more having to work through the process than just being given the answers.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the point of this. And we said right at the beginning, adults have to fail in order mm-hmm. to learn. Your cake has to come out burnt for you to learn that your oven is hot, and therefore you have to take the time down by 10 minutes in the recipe.
Is your team ready to grow this spring? If so, equip yourself to hire with our flexible content. Can't make it to our in-person effective hiring manager conference? The video course captures the same insights and practice without location or budget restrictions. Listen, though nothing beats in-person learning, our video gives you the training you need when and where you need it. When you're hiring, you're hiring. You can't wait for a training course. Look for the Video Effective Hiring Manager course under the products menu on our website, manager-tools.com, and start filling your team with A players this spring.
The next section is use your eyes and ears. And not all learning has to be experiential. You, hopefully, are learning from this guidance before you actually take action. In some guidance, we tell you the right way to do something based on the wrong way we've done it in the past, because we want to give you the shortcuts around the negative experience that we had. And we did it the wrong way, and we'll tell you how not to do that and to do it the right way. And you can do this too, because there are plenty of good and bad examples happening all around you every day. So what works and what doesn't? A lot of the time we don't see the examples because we're not looking for the specific skills. We're looking at how other people do their jobs as a whole. If you narrow it down, it's easier to see the different ways that people approach the same task and how some people are successful and some people aren't. So if you think, oh, I need to learn about those task descriptions, if we go back mm-hmm. to that, think about the other people in your team. Who does the best task descriptions and who does the worst? And how are they different? What is the person who's the best doing differently from the person who's the worst? You can do that with any skill and just think about the examples that you're seeing right now in front of you. What does that tell you about the skill that you're trying to learn?
Yeah, we also seem to forget once we pass childhood that asking questions is allowed, right? We seem to be hesitant to ask questions. While we wouldn't suggest doing this in a meeting, right? You don't want to do it calling people out in the middle of a meeting. We do recommend doing it afterward and asking things like, why did you do that? Or how do you approach that person is perfectly acceptable. In fact, if you begin with, I noticed that your interaction with Ben go much better than mine do, or something like, you bring all of your projects in on time. Those people are more likely to be flattered and therefore more willing to help give you the benefit of their wisdom. If you start with a compliment, a lead-in of why, and essentially why you're asking them, right? You get more bees with honey, or what's that saying?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And when we say, why did you do that? That's because we don't have a specific example in there. Please don't go up to people and say, why did you do that? What we mean is, if you see something in a meeting that went particularly well for someone, say to them, Amanda, I saw that you encouraged people to ask questions by giving an example first. Can you tell me how you learned to do that? Or can you tell me, do you always do that? Is that something that you've found works particularly well? So that's what why did you do that means. It's a shorthand for a much longer question.
Think to ask, why did you do that? But in a much nicer context.
Yes, exactly. Right? At this horrible
with a better lead-in, yeah. Right?
At this horrible moment of, you know, we've just told people and they're all walking up to other people in meetings and going, why did you do that? That's not
why did you do that? And if that you blurt that out, you don't want to say, it was great. I just want to know so I can learn from you.
Yes.
Right? Why did you walk me through that? Because it was amazing.
Yes.
If you blurt that out first, follow it up with, that was great. I just want to learn how.
Yeah. And you'll learn far more from all of these interactions if you can, as far as you can, put aside any preconceived notions you have. Because if indeed your colleague's interactions with someone else go much better than yours, there is something different about their interactions. It might be, as you suspect, that they're the same age or they have the same alma mater. But it might be something your colleague is about to tell you in this conversation. So you have to be listening for that. You can't just assume it's whatever you think, the old boys club. It might be that, but it might not be. And sometimes we assume that and don't listen to what the actual answer is. Another example might be a colleague who's particularly good at time management, and you say to them, hey, you are really good at managing your time. Like, what method do you use? And they say time blocking. And I would say, oh, I've tried that. That does not work. And that's not helpful. I have tried it and it failed at it several times, but it's working for that person. Maybe he's implementing it differently. Maybe I should go look at his calendar and see how he is doing it. And maybe I should try again, instead of dismissing it because I've tried it once or because I don't like the idea. So if you are asking someone, why does that work better for you than it does for me? Then you have to listen to the answer and be willing to consider it, because otherwise it's pointless wasting your breath on asking the question.
Yeah. Lastly, we're going to talk about updating your career management document. One of the most common regrets we hear when people are working on their resume is, I didn't keep notes about what I was doing. The career management document, the CMD, is the answer to that. It looks like your resume, but instead of being specifically chosen accomplishments, it's everything you achieved at work, big and small. Also, there's a cast for that, with all our guidance on creating and updating your career management document. So include the skill development projects on this document. They probably will never rise to the level of importance of an accomplishment that makes it to your resume, but the record of your accomplishments is useful more frequently than you might realize if you don't have one. We can't remember every awesome thing that we did, so this could help, right? And even if you do it throughout the year, during your performance review, you can just look back, right? And you say, oh, I did all of these things, instead of what a lot of people do is just wait till 2 weeks before it's due and hope for the best, right? Try to remember all the things, go through all the emails.
Yes. So once you know that 80% of development happens on the job, you are in a very happy position, because you know that every day you have an opportunity to start your own training, working on improving the skills that matter most for you, to you, on real life examples for real customers. And isn't that what people always say they want? I want training. I want to work on real examples. I want to work for customers. That's what you can do every day. And any university would love to be able to promise that you could do that. They would triple the charges if they could promise you that opportunity. And not only is this university free, they're actually paying you. So, you know, maybe that's a bit overboard, but your development is much more in your hands than most people think. Most people think they have to wait until they're given budget and they're allowed to go on the course and given the certificate. And that's not true. You can, even if your boss said, no, you can't do any extracurriculars because you're not getting your work done, that still doesn't stop you watching Amanda in a meeting and trying to work out why she does so much better when she presents than you do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can have nobody's going to stop you having an internal conversation with yourself. No. Nobody's going to stop you making notes at the end of the day. Why did my day go badly today? And trying to do something different the next day. Nobody's going to stop you looking up on Google after work how to do something on the computer system, you know, whatever program that you're struggling with, or looking up examples of task descriptions so that you can do yours better the next day. There's lots of opportunity. It doesn't need to be someone standing in front of a classroom emptying their knowledge into your head.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Amanda.
Thanks, Wendy.
That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with a new topic. Bye, everyone.
Bye.